From the West Touchdown Club at Everbank Field today, the 2014 State of the Franchise Address. J.P. Shadrick with Jaguars.com senior writer John Osier. We're live on Jaguars.com. Turning into an annual type of event here, John.
Well, and a daily type of event with you and me on camera, right? I mean, it's just been constant lately. So another busy day, another exciting day. And that old commercial that's going to date me, the E.F. Hutton. When E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. For you 70s guys out there, when Shad talks, people listen. So it should be interesting today.
I won't tell you what decade I was born in, right, John, but it wasn't in the 70s.
You might have missed the E.F. Hutton commercial.
I think I might have. Stick with us today. You'll hear a lot about the future on the business side of the organization. Actually, what happened in the past, too, the past year's review, and what to look for in the coming months going into this season. It's always interesting because this group, Shad Khan, Mark Lamping, have really made a name of being somewhat transparent in this, right?
Well, yeah, and that's what this is all about. It's, if you remember last year, they basically laid it out. We need to get better in local revenue. We need to do this. And they laid out some things that for people who are paying attention, if people want to know how the franchise works, these annual updates are certainly the place to see that and understand why the franchise does some of the things it does.
This will kick off at 1 o'clock today. We'll carry the whole thing live right here on Jaguars.com. We'll have special guests after Shad Khan scheduled to join us right after the address today. President Mark Lamping, maybe a football guest as well.
And I think what we'll get a feel for is we were at the draft all weekend, and the fans have been tuned into the pre-draft, and everybody's sensing the excitement from Gus Bradley, from David Caldwell, from the players, and fans sort of feel that energy, if you will. I think you're going to feel a synergy, you know, to use another urgy word, that, you know, the business side is feeling that too as well, and that you're starting to see things go forward in lockstep in a positive direction. So I think you'll get a feel for that this afternoon.
There's been a lot of talk in these addresses past, John, that about local revenue and how important that is to the future of this franchise. You're going to hear a lot of that again today and how that's improved in the past year or so, most likely.
Well, sure, and it's key for any franchise because all franchises get a certain amount of shared revenue from the league. And then at some point, your local revenue has to be strong enough where you can pay expenses locally, where you can reinvest in yourself locally. And that's been a goal of Mark Lamping's from day one when he got here. It's something he talked a lot about in the State of the Union last year. And I'm sure, as you said, as you hinted at, we'll hear some positive news in that direction today.
State of the Franchise 2014 coming up at the top of the hour, live here on Jaguars.com, and special guests to join us a little bit after.
And on that last point, when the Jaguars first started in the mid-90s, because of the way the stadium was constructed and because of the other stadiums around the league, the Jaguars were very, very high in local revenue, 95 and through the 90s, helped the franchise be strong. In the mid part of the last decade, that changed a lot. Lately, they've been at the bottom. At some point, you have to remedy that to be competitive.
And a part of that remedy is the London strategy. We'll hear an update on what's happened in the United Kingdom the last year or so. We know a lot of folks over there watching today, too, and we thank you for that. It's an important part, yet folks who are outside of the organization may not really be able to put it together why that's important to the local revenue here, but it's almost vital to the local revenue.
Well, it's important because when you play in Wembley, because of the seating capacity and the prices, you make a lot of money. And I'm no math major, but a lot of money is good. So, yeah. That's always been my philosophy anyway, JP.
We count on you for in-depth analysis. Insight, thanks a lot for that.
Insight, humor, you get it all.
Great. So we'll hear a lot about how the London situation's going and what's next on that front for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Of course, the stadium renovations are underway. New video boards, the north end zone, cabana area. We'll get the latest on that, and obviously you can see it outside, but
sure,
we'll get a little more detail of what's left.
And as soon as the cabanas go up, you're basically moving the office out there, right? Isn't that your plan?
That's been the plan from day one for me. Exactly. That wasn't in the drawings?
But it's been neat. If you've been following it on Twitter, if you've been following some of the updates, the live constant cam we have going, you can start to see some of those tangible things getting put in. And if you've ever built a house, which I haven't, but if you ever have, you start to see things go in and the cool stuff starts to go in. All of a sudden you're seeing the tangible things and you can start putting two and two together and say, oh, this is really what it's going to look like. So it's going to be a neat time to spend some time on the video cam on Jaguars.com. Little plug there.
We are live on Jaguars.com. The 2014 State of the Franchise coming up at 1 o'clock. You'll hear from Shad Khan, Mark Lamping, Dave Caldwell, and Gus Bradley. We'll recap the football side as well. It's been a heck of a weekend over there.
And again, just another off season around here with a lot of energy. It started football last year, and you really felt it this last weekend, and now you've got a third consecutive season with a lot going on off the field. You had the locker room. You had last year with the training room. Now you get the video boards. As time goes on, I think more and more people outside the organization are starting to feel what we have felt inside the organization, which is just you gradually make steps, you gradually make progress, and then you get some energy going where it's all going in the right direction. I get the feeling that people are starting to notice that.
Live on Jaguars.com, you'll hear a lot today about the football side. Yes, I saw you all weekend on our live coverage of the draft. Free agents were signed Saturday night into Sunday, announced on Monday. But you'll hear from Dave Caldwell and get a full recap, because that's part of this big circle, sure, too, the revenue, the tickets. You have to have some performance on the field, too, and it starts with the draft.
Right, and they get that, and they've always said, Shad, since day one, let's put the structure into place, let's do the things on the business side that we can control and that will bring us, that you can sort of see tangibly and immediately, if you will. And there was a knowledge last January that the football side, you can't just put money and draft picks into the football side and see immediate results. That was going to take longer on the field because there's a developmental issue there as well. But as you get a year closer, as you get a year on, you're going to see that more in lockstep, I think, and you're going to see the tangible evidence of what they've been doing off the field on the field.
We're about 7 or 8 minutes away from the scheduled start time, 1 o'clock start for the state of the franchise here on Jaguars.com. And as they always do in addresses such as these, yes, they talk about what's happening now, but there's always something ahead, it seems like. Of course, we've seen the renderings of the possible roof here at Everbank Field. That's been a big topic of discussion in this past offseason. But I have a feeling we might see a little bit more today, John.
You have a feeling, do you? You have a little feeling or a big feeling?
I don't know. We'll have to find out and see. But it starts with a vision for the future.
Right. And as they did when they put out the prototypes in January, what the ownership, what Mark Lambing likes to do is sort of show people the possibilities. He certainly showed them the possibilities in January of what this stadium might be. And I think that goes back to the transparency deal. This franchise wants people to understand how it's thinking, why it's thinking, and allow people to sort of embrace the change in the vision that the people around here see.
Jaguars.com, we're live from the West Touchdown Club at Everbank Field. Glad you've joined us today. Live on Jaguars.com at 1 o'clock, state of the franchise. We will have some special guests after. Shad Khan scheduled to join us here right after the address. Mark Lamping, we'll get some more detail from him, maybe a football guest as well. So a busy day today here at Everbank Field after a busy weekend on the football side.
And you mentioned we're having the rookie premiere tomorrow. We can take a second before we get started to talk about that. That was a neat thing last year, and it was something we did for the first time on Jaguars.com. It's really a chance to let people see the rookies as they're coming in before they really learn the language, before they've been involved with it. And it's a chance. I always like to see guys on sort of the first day of the rest of their lives, so to speak. So there was real energy with that. Tomorrow, the rookie premiere. Today's great. The rookie premiere for guys who like to see where this franchise is headed is always a neat watch.
A little more on that. 12:15 tomorrow, live on Jaguars.com. We'll have most, if not all, of the draft picks live for about 5 minutes each. You got to tune into that. 12:15.
Big moment
tomorrow
for them, getting a chance to meet you and spend some time with.
Well, I know you were in the locker room a minute ago, so they got to meet you for the first time.
That's big moments. Being a rookie is all about sort of those touch point moments. Sure. For them, tomorrow will be one of those.
Yeah, whatever, John. John Osier, JP Shadrick, we're live from Everbank Field. Speaking of that, locker room was open today for the first time since the draft. Most of the veterans were around. A few rookies were in there too. A few draft picks. But it's interesting to kind of hear from some of the veterans on the new guys coming in for the first time.
Well, and again, the main storyline today obviously was Chad Henne. Got a chance to talk to him very late in the locker room. And he, said what you would expect him to say about Blake Bortles being drafted. He knew, he understood the situation. Gus on Jaguars today, when we were talking to him today, said he reached out to Chad Henne before and after the pick and was just sort of, as a coach or a leader wants to do, a last-minute explanation, Chad, we might do this. Chad in the locker room just now said, you know what, I told him, not necessary. He gets it. He gets the situation. You do get a vibe that if you can be the right guy for this situation, which is having a rookie quarterback behind you, a guy who everybody knows at some point is going to start, Chad can take that approach. He's been through it before. I think he can handle whatever distraction is going to bring along with that and be the guy until Blake is ready.
Of course, some other storylines, the two new wide receivers mixing in with Cecil Shorts in that room. I didn't see one of the new guys there today, but Cecil spoke for the first time in an open locker room. The offensive line is another storyline moving forward with Linder at guard and then the competition at center, too.
Well, and Cecil's an interesting story because there's this little perception out there that I've heard from some people. Oh, what's Cecil think about these two rookie wide receivers? Is he upset? Is he angry? Couldn't be further from the truth. Cecil knows that in the NFL in this day and age, you can't have just one guy playing wide receiver who can make plays. Now, they have more than that, but the more guys who defenses have to worry about, the better it is for Cecil Shorts, the better it is for Allen Robinson, thank you very much, and the better it is for anybody on the skill positions in this offense. Having two good impact players will help everybody.
This is Jaguars.com. We're live from the West Touchdown Club at Everbank Field.
Obviously
live. And obviously, we've got people coming and going. Glad you're with us today. It's the state of the franchise. We'll hear from owner Shad Khan. President Mark Lamping on the business side has just arrived. He'll speak today and have the bulk of this presentation. You'll hear from Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley as well. And after, we'll have some additional thoughts from Shad Khan and Mark Lamping here.
And I hope people are watching because, as you said at the top of this, this is something that not every franchise does. And when they say state of the franchise, if you watch this, if you listen to what people are saying today, at the end of however long this presentation takes, you will have an idea about where this franchise has been and where it's headed. And it's really transparent. What happens today will set the storylines for this franchise going forward for the next year. And that's a neat thing. I'll be watching. I know that.
Well, I know you're here, so you'll be watching for sure. Let's set the scene a little bit. Mark Lamping has arrived, the Jaguars president. Dave Caldwell is in the room today as well. We're awaiting the arrival. Gus Bradley's here. Hey, Gus. Gus Bradley walking behind us. There he is. Shad Khan should be here shortly. We've seen him around the building all day today in preparation. Actually, all weekend. He was here for the draft, too. But it's we don't get to hear from Shad a lot. He only speaks at certain times of the year, and this is one of those very important times.
Well, yeah, and I'm sure the media afterward will ask him about the draft and the state of the team. But as he's on today and as Mark Lamping's on, I get the feeling it's going to be about where this franchise is in the community, on the field, and sort of setting the stage. He's going into his third year. He's going into his second year with his leadership group entirely intact. And he has made no bones about through the first year that he liked that trio a lot. I assume and I imagine you're going to hear today that he feels like that belief is being vindicated or proven or backed on a daily basis. I get the feeling he feels very good about the direction.
Shad Khan has arrived. Mark Lamping making his way to the stage. And we are about to get underway for
we'll
the 2014
in,
State of the Franchise live on Jaguars.com.
So welcome, everyone, and particularly our fans that are tuning in today on Jaguars.com and many of our new fans in the UK. We're going to start today with the owner of the Jaguars, Mr. Shad Khan. Shad.
Thank you, Mark, and thanks, everyone, for being here. And anybody else who's maybe joining us online, it's been a privilege being the owner of Jacksonville Jaguars for 2 years. And somehow it sometimes feels a little bit longer than 2 years, but I really, have enjoyed and really appreciate the deep relationships we have formed with our fans, the business, and the city leaders, and along with the sponsors and all the people who love the Jacksonville Jaguars. I know today we have the kind of spirit, frankly, a lot of people admire and envy in the NFL, relationship between the community and the team, and over the 2 years, I mean, as I look back, I think all the stadium enhancements that were a vision have become a reality, our international initiative, the scoreboards that are going in, I mean, it's quite amazing, I think, what we've been able to do collaboratively with the city. But when it's all said and done, we are a football team. And I think what gives me the great pleasure is something that we're building here that's really special under the leadership of Dave and Gus Bradley. So the direction we're moving in, I think a great example, obviously, is the draft that just got completed. Now, it wasn't that great. The energy in the city, the energy in the stadium, I've been here a little over 2 years, but, I mean, I just know the difference. I feel the difference every day I'm here. We've got a lot of challenges ahead of us, but I think we've accomplished a lot. And Mark will touch on the direction we're moving and what some of our challenges are here in a few minutes. But we are on the right track, and I can tell you our brand statement, proud, bold, committed, is something we're living every day, conducting it off the field, on the field, and we're seeing results. So, again, let me thank everybody for your loyalty, the support we've had, and let me turn it back to you, Mark, and I think you can take us through today's presentation.
Good afternoon. Last year, when we held the first State of the Franchise update, we explained a number of things and really focused on those things that if we were able to address them will result in a sustainable, successful NFL franchise here in Jacksonville. And we talked a lot about the importance of local revenue, and that's not changing. Last year we unveiled the new brand identity, the logo, the uniform. We talked about new fan engagement initiatives, in particular what we were trying to do to improve and enhance the in-stadium experience for our fans, the importance of regional throughout North Florida and Southern Georgia, the importance of that growth, and the new scoreboard concepts, which literally we talked about as a concept at this event a year ago. We made progress in 2013. That's the best thing we can say. So we're, as Shad mentioned, without question, we're moving on the right direction in terms of the football side of the business. And as we'll share with you later, people all over the country agree with that assessment. But we're also making progress in terms of the financial infrastructure of the franchise. Local revenue remains critical to our long-term success. We do have market challenges to address, and we have, in many respects, unique challenges to address that are different than any other NFL team. And we have very exciting plans for 2014. The drivers of NFL success obviously starts with our fans. And to the degree we can increase and grow that fan base and enhance the loyalty and the emotional connection between our fans and the franchise, we grow ticket sales and sponsorship. And that leads to even more revenue generated locally, which is the most important thing for us these days. And with this local revenue, we can reinvest in the team and the infrastructure around the team. And with that investment comes enhanced on-field performance and a better stadium experience for our customers. And then on to fan loyalty. It's a virtuous circle and something that can feed upon itself and something that we have to do to be consistent year in and year out and have a sustainable franchise here in Jacksonville. We talked about local revenue last year, and in terms of where the Jaguars started when this part of the country was awarded an NFL franchise 20 years ago, and how that local revenue position has eroded pretty consistently over the last 20 years. This is our problem to fix. We have to fix it to have a sustainable team. This chart shows basically the relationship between ticket revenue and local revenue. So to the degree you do well in terms of ticket revenue, you're going to discover you're going to do very well in terms of local revenue. Here's the NFL average. Jaguars down in this position down here. And again, the relationship between ticket revenue and local revenue, which includes other revenue streams, things such as sponsorship and merchandise sales, food and beverage, parking are all in there.
But to do well with local revenue, you have to do well with ticket revenue. This shows Jacksonville in terms of the entire population, the percentage of that population that indicate that they're fans of the NFL. So we're very typical. This is the average NFL city. Jacksonville is very much alike the average NFL city. But then when you combine the fact that we have average penetration in terms of fans with the fact we're one of the smallest markets in the National Football League, of course we end up with one of the smallest fan bases in all the National Football League. And again, it's our responsibility to deal with this, and it's our responsibility to grow it. What are some of the reasons for that? Amongst all the NFL markets, Jacksonville is the second most transient market in all of NFL cities. We have more population turnover than any other NFL city with the exception of Washington, D.C. Not surprising that we have that. Half the people that live here are not from the state of Florida, and our single largest employer is the military. When you combine the fact that we have one of the smaller fan bases, in fact, the smallest local fan base, and we have a stadium that's about the same size as the average NFL stadium, we end up with a tougher challenge than most NFL cities. We have to attract about 20% of our fans each and every Sunday to fill Everbank Field. So as I mentioned earlier, our challenges are unique. They are different than most NFL franchises. And when you look at where we are in terms of the percentage of fans we need to attract each and every week, it's about double what the next biggest NFL franchise is. But there's things we can do to obviously address that. We can attract more fans by focusing regionally. And that's why you see us being much more aggressive in terms of our marketing throughout North Florida and Southern Georgia. And as the product improves on the field, which it will, we will be able to get a bigger percentage of those NFL fans that live here in Jacksonville say that the Jaguars are their single favorite team. And this shows you back over time. If you go back to 2000, 2001, the first year that this information was available, this is actually information collected and reported by ESPN. Coming into 2000, 2001, still have a little bit of the interest generated from the newness of the franchise and the fact that the franchise makes the playoffs four of its first 5 years, AFC Championship game two of those first 5 years. You see the penetration and the interest in the franchise at an all-time high. What happens since then, it sort of levels out in the mid-40s, close to 50, and we've seen it drop off a little bit recently, which is attributed to team performance. The team does better, you have more followers, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. As far as ticket pricing is concerned, our fans continue to enjoy some of the least expensive tickets in all the National Football League. Our average ticket price is more than $20 less than the average ticket price in the NFL. And as we mentioned last year, we also have to fix this. Being in the smallest market with some of the least expensive tickets is not sustainable. And again, it's our responsibility to fix that, and we'll be talking a little bit about the moves that we're making this year to try to do this in a way that is very sensitive to what our fans' needs are. Because at the same time, we need to make sure that our fans can continue to afford to attend Jaguar games. This is a look at television ratings. And this was from last year. The average NFL team had ratings of 28.5%, or the rating was 28.5. The Jaguars were about 10 points less than that. And again, when you combine low television ratings with a small market, you end up with a small number of people watching your games compared to other NFL cities. Now, why is this important? Well, there's a lot of reasons. One of the most important reasons is the financial infrastructure of the National Football League is built by a lot of things. The value of the league's broadcast rights is perhaps the most important. And not surprising, TV ratings follow performance. This here in Jacksonville. This chart is a 3-year running average of the number of wins. So you go back to 1998, and each of these spots on this line are the average number of wins. So you can see as our performance has declined over the last handful of years, our 3-year average has also gone down. So again, this is an indication of how is the team playing, and this is actually 4 years, not 3 years. And when you lay our television ratings on top of that, you discover something pretty interesting. As we do better on the field, more people watch at home. That's not something that should surprise anyone, but it underscores the importance in this market that you have to have a competitive team on the field if you're going to drive high television ratings. And again, Jaguar television ratings, with very few exceptions, back at the early years of the franchise when the ratings were in the 30s, typically the ratings have been in the mid-20s. And now we're at 18.3 with the expectation that as we put a better product on the field, those ratings will increase. So what do we do to try to address that? Well, first we need to cast a wider net. So we need to continue to focus on regional growth of the franchise. We've done some things recently. Our new agreements with our new flagship television, Channel 4, and our radio partners with 1010XL and Gator Country 99.9 is doing that. As far as the television network is concerned, we've gone from 12 strategically placed television affiliates to 18. And radio has gone from 12 to 18. Television has gone from 4 markets to 9. And now the Jaguar programming, whether it's preseason games, television programs during the week, like the Gus Bradley Show, and our radio programming is available each and every week from Central Florida to Charleston and as far west as Pensacola. So we're widening the net of customers that we're trying to appeal to, and we continue to get out into this region with fan forums, caravan trips with players, alumni, broadcasters, and fan rallies from Savannah all the way to Central Florida. So we're getting very serious about trying to increase our presence in North Florida and Southern Georgia. And the good news is our local revenue was up last year. Our local revenue was up 8%, and local revenue is basically the most important metric that we follow. And in order for us to do that, we need to grow our local revenue regionally and internationally. But the interesting thing about this analysis of last year is that our domestic revenue was actually down about 9%. You would expect some of that to be down because we played one fewer game here than we did the year before. But the impact of our London strategy really came to bear last year, where we're actually up 8% in terms of local revenue, and if it wasn't for our presence in London, we actually would have been down. So clearly we'd be going in the wrong direction against the most important measurement that we follow regarding our goal of sustainability and stability here in Jacksonville. If you look at the two most important and largest pieces of that, ticket revenue and sponsorship revenue, in 2012, domestically, our ticket revenue was actually down 18%. So the amount of ticket revenue we were generating from games played at Everbank Field was down 18%. You would expect it to be down because we played one fewer game, but also, as you saw last year, we drew fewer fans to our games coming off the 2-14 season. So we were down 18%. But again, because of London and higher capacity at Wembley, much larger crowd, significantly higher average ticket price, we were actually flat in ticket revenue. And where we're really seeing great growth is on the sponsorship side. Not only were we up 14% in terms of domestic sponsorship, when you add in and layer in London, we were up almost 30% in terms of sponsorship revenue. So we really believe this is a great leading indicator of where things are going with the franchise. When you look at the different components of our local revenue, last year 63% of our total revenue came from ticket revenue at EverBank Field. 28% was from our sponsorship activities, and 9% came from all other sources, parking, food and beverage sales, merchandise sales. We've seen a big shift from 2012 to 2013. We're not as reliant on local ticket revenue as we were. We're seeing our sponsorship revenue as it grows becoming an even more important part of what we do. And in just 1 year of our four-year London plan, London now accounts for 15% of the franchise's total revenue. Why is that? Well, we think we developed, in conjunction with our partners here in Jacksonville, a very good strategy. It's not a distinctive, separate London strategy versus what's happening here in Jacksonville. It's an extension of what we're doing here, not a replacement. And the best example of that is our fan club. Our fan club is called the Union Jacks, a very overt and direct way to tie these two communities together. We now have two full-time employees in London. We sent our cheerleaders over there last year for the calendar shoot. We've had multiple player and alumni visits. And our Union Jacks fan club now has over 23,000 members. And perhaps most importantly, the reason that we did this to help stabilize the franchise in Jacksonville and to help support the awareness of Jacksonville so that it leads to economic development by companies in the UK bringing jobs here and increasing the tourism that the UK will generate for North Florida is working. This is the growth of our fan club in the UK. Very solid growth throughout the season. We expect this to grow as we get into our second year of the four-year commitment. And the Jaguars have gone in just 1 year from the 31st most popular team in the UK to number 9. So we've moved very quickly and we've gone in the right direction in terms of popularity. And we can monetize that. And we can use that as an asset to get people even more interested in partnering with the Jaguars, whether it's in London or it's here in Jacksonville. And as we do that, that supports stability of the franchise here in Jacksonville. And the reception has been very, very positive. And it was positive because we were very transparent and we involved the community in our plans. And they had the ability to help shape our plans. But we haven't done this at the expense of our local commitment. In fact, just the opposite has happened. Last year, the Jaguars, through our foundation, distributed more than $1.6 million in grants. That's up by 33% versus 2012. More than 4,000 young boys and girls enjoyed Jaguar games last year through the Honor Rose program. Over 3,000 sixth grade students have participated in Play 60 Challenge. And our players, coaches, general manager are also very committed. Over 300 appearances last year from our players and our football staff in support of the Jaguars and this community. And our commitment to the military has never been stronger. What else is supporting this? Shad made the commitment that all our games are going to be on TV, regardless of how many tickets happen to be sold. So we haven't had a blackout for the last 4 years, and we're not going to have a blackout this year in Jacksonville. That helps us expose our product to everyone. And the job that Dave and Gus have done, first in terms of free agents and the financial support that Shad has provided, and then over this past weekend with an exceptional draft. And while I guess you would expect us to say it's an exceptional draft, national media is taking note. And this isn't just an assessment of how the draft went. It speaks to what's happening here in the football side of the business that makes us much stronger and clearly pointed in the right direction. So we're all very, very excited and believe 100% that we're pointed in the right direction as far as the football organization is concerned, and that's thanks to Dave and Gus. But we have to continue to look forward. We have unique challenges, and we just can't follow the playbook of every other NFL team because our challenges are different than any other NFL market. And this year, we celebrate the 20th anniversary of the franchise. This is our commemorative logo that you'd see at retail, and we're including that logo on the front right chest of the uniforms. But beyond what we do to celebrate the 20th anniversary, we're also making a big commitment inside the stadium. We introduced the State Farm Fan Cave last year. Great reviews. That will be expanded. This is what it will look like this year. A much more permanent structure will be installed in the south end zone to allow even more fans to be in a climate-controlled area to follow their fantasy football teams. And the world's largest video boards. Again, we like the idea that it was just a year ago we talked about this, and today there's cranes outside Everbank Field and construction's well underway. And the video boards will be totally flexible in terms of how the game is presented, that we can change it from game to game and to make sure that it becomes an integral part of our fans' in-game entertainment and experience, and does it in a way that hopefully provides our fans not only with the type of information they desire, but maybe it will leave our fans a little less dependent upon staring at their smartphone for the information that last year they had no choice but to go to their phone to receive. And upgrades to the north end zone to try to do something with Everbank Field that finally gives it a personality that is uniquely Jacksonville. We have a tremendous amount to be proud of in this community, and why not show it off in terms of the way that our stadium looks? So when people tune into Jaguar games next year, nationally and internationally as well, and they see what the stadium looks like, it will be distinctive. It won't be confused with any other stadium in this country or outside. We're really optimistic about this year. We have a great home schedule. Colts, Steelers, Browns, and Dolphins, the Cowboys in London, the Giants, the Texans, and the Titans. And we're trying to find new products that can help us support the goal of raising our average ticket price. We know now is not the time to raise ticket prices across the board. But that doesn't change our need to increase our average ticket price. So we're trying to do it by introducing new products, products that maybe will appeal to a certain segment of this community, products that in the past we have not been able to offer, and as such, maybe have not been able to fill the needs of certain of our particularly corporate customers. So we'll have seats on the field for the first time next year. Imagine a football equivalent of courtside seats for basketball. We've taken a section of our club seats and reorganized them into tables that hold four people with food and beverage included as part of that ticket offering. Out in the north end zone, we've got a huge bar rail where fans will be able to reserve those seats. And again, food and beverage included as part of their ticket price. And the areas around the water features, the spa, the pools, our spa cabanas, where up to 200 fans can enjoy a unique experience in a one-of-a-kind area, which includes exclusive access to the new spas, furniture, TVs, and again, all-inclusive food and beverage, and smaller party cabanas that overlook the field. We end up adding about 1,500 premium seats to Everbank Field. And if we're able to sell these, and so far success looks like it's within reach, this will really help us raise our average ticket price without having to impact all of our fans. And our fans wanted engagement year-round, that we need to give our customers, particularly our season ticket members, the ability to connect with the franchise each and every day throughout the year. The Jags 365 program has been introduced, and it provides unique experiences based on what the fans' interest might be. Because we do know that a season ticket member who has a family and young kids, their interest would be different than a season ticket member who buys them for his or her business in order to entertain clients. Their needs are different. Our ability to meet their needs has to be different. And, you know, thanks to Shad's commitment, and not only a thank you to our season ticket members, but also the entire community, the scoreboards will be unveiled on July 26th at a mega event featuring Carrie Underwood. We're also bringing over Fulham to play a friendly that day. A good example of fulfilling Shad's commitment of bringing events here to Jacksonville and underscoring the connection and tie between Jacksonville and London. And this entire event is free to our season ticket holders. And the response from the market has been pretty good so far. We do have a long way to go. We're only the middle of May, and we sell season tickets until the middle of September. But season ticket renewals are running about 10% ahead of where we were last year at this time. And new season ticket sales are about 46% ahead of last year. So the optimism that I think we all feel in the marketplace is translating to sales. Again, we have a long way to go. We're not anywhere near what our goal is, but we're clearly making progress. So what's next? We mentioned earlier we're a different market. And when we play in a stadium that's 20 years old, we have to make a commitment to have that stadium evolve and keep up with the needs of our customers, which are changing at all times. So we've talked about the idea of something that could make the stadium more comfortable for our fans, particularly during the early part of the season. And the idea of, can we put a roof on Everbank Field to make it a more comfortable building and perhaps make it open for other events during other times of the year? Still working that. It's not in the near future, but it is something that we think is worthy of continued study. And we've talked about the shipyards and our commitment to do everything that we can to make sure the sports complex is a desirable place for fans to visit and to try to do what we can do to contribute to a more vibrant and strong downtown Jacksonville. And while these plans continue to evolve, know that we're going to make sure, if we're the developer, that we're going to integrate the team into the shipyard's development to give it even more interest, whether that's indoor practice fields, outdoor fields, and do something that that area can continue to be themed with this city's NFL franchise. And club seats. We're seated in one of the clubs that supports the club seats in the stadium. You know, club seats are important to every NFL team. One of the reasons for that is generally the amount of revenue, ticket revenue that you retain when you sell a club seat is a higher percentage than what you would retain if you sold a general admission ticket. And while I wasn't here, everyone who was here knows that it was critically important for this community to buy all 11,000-plus club seats in order to get the expansion franchise. So when the Jaguars were going through the process and it was down to the end on whether that team was going to be awarded to St. Louis or whether it was going to be awarded to Jacksonville, the fact that this community in a great way stepped up and bought all the 11,000 club seats made a huge difference. Jacksonville and Everbank Field continues to have some of the greatest quantity of club seats in the entire National Football League. And it's a little counterintuitive. We talked earlier about the size of the market, and this, what follows the size of the market is the size of the corporate community. And while not all club seats are sold to companies, it's a very important piece of that. We have a huge amount of club seats compared to what typically this market would be expected to support. And we've seen that, where the sale of club seats, you know, seems to have leveled out in the 75 to 80% range. And this isn't critically important to avoiding blackouts. In fact, it does. You don't have to sell these tickets to avoid a blackout. But it's critically important to the financial underpinning of the franchise. And this remains our single most important component of our ticket revenue year in and year out. So what do? We think we need to be looking at doing something to really enhance the club experience. It's been a while since we've done anything to change this. We think we probably have too many club seats. And is there a way that we can get the capacity of the club seats down and to do it in a way that we really increase the enhance the experience for our club seat ticket holders? And imagine, if you would, instead of having a wall behind us, all of that was glass, and you could look right out into the field. That's the concept, with the idea that not only do we improve the overall experience, that we get the balance between supply and demand where it should be for this marketplace, but also enhance the overall experience and make these spaces even more desirable destination for events outside of NFL games and other events at Everbank Field. So this is also something that we're looking at. So to wrap up here, going back to what we talked about earlier, that fan loyalty leads to ticket sales and sponsorship, which helps us grow local revenue, which gives us the ability to reinvest in the team and the infrastructure that supports on-field performance and the stadium experience, and they all feed off one another. Our plans clearly support that. And this is what we're doing this year. In terms of fan loyalty, the commitment to air all of our games. There's no discussions about blackouts, and there hasn't been since Shad bought the team. Spending a lot of time honoring the past, particularly those season ticket holders that have been with us from the beginning. And Jaguars Foundation continues to be a really important part of everything that we do to be a solid citizen here in Jacksonville. In terms of ticket sales and sponsorship, JAGS 365 to recognize the importance of our season ticket members year-round. New seat offerings to help us increase our average ticket price without having to go across the board on raising ticket prices. And unveiling all these stadium improvements with a free concert featuring Carrie Underwood and supporting the goal of even more events here in Jacksonville by bringing Fulham over for a match this summer. Continue to focus on expanding our regional and international reach because that's the area where we can grow. We can grow significantly regionally and internationally. In terms of what's happening with those dollars, are they being reinvested? They are. In the new scoreboard, stadium renovation, locker room renovations, and it's giving us the resources, and with Shad's support and Dave and Gus's commitment, aggressive free agent and draft acquisitions. So this is where we want to go. This is what we're doing to support that. And as we started the presentation, the state of the Jaguars franchise is improving, but we have a long way to go. So thank you very much. That concludes the presentation, and we'll be doing Shad, Gus, and Dave are available for one-on-ones as the media wishes. Thank you.
There you have it, the state of the franchise 2014, the thoughts of owner Shad Khan, President Mark Lamping. Didn't hear from the football side. They were here today. I'm sure some of the local folks will be speaking with Dave and Gus as well. But, of course, the primary part of this today was to hear from the owner Shad Khan. And he will join us here in just a moment. That is the schedule, at least. And then Mark Lamping also. Actually, here comes Shad Khan right now, Jaguars owner. 2014 State of the Franchise. Glad you're with us on Jaguars.com. It's always a big day here at Everbank Field, but it's even a bigger day when the owner of the Jaguars, Shad Khan, joins us. Shad, come on in. How are you? Great to see you, Shad.
Good to see you.
Obviously an exciting day because a lot of this stuff folks don't see on a daily basis, but you got to be happy with the state of the franchise.
Absolutely. I think we're in great shape, moving forward, a lot of work to do. But I love the last week, what we did on the football, really what we're going to do on the football team.
Well, let's talk about the football team. Your reaction as an owner, you're sitting in the war room. Dave Caldwell says, hey, write down the name Blake Bortles. What's the first thing that goes through your mind?
Well, you know, it's by that time you've gone through all the permutations, combinations. I think it's, you know, it's a culmination of reality. It's, you know, if it's like you're not cramming before that exam.
<That's right.
laughs> All the homework, all the heavy lifting's been done, and you're very comfortable with it.
You're happy with the rest of the draft class, the playmakers on offense, and kind of some depth on defense, too?
Absolutely. I think we've got a great draft class, and you know, I just can't wait for the season to begin.
Jaguars owner Shad Khan is with us. We're live on Jaguars.com. We saw the video boards. We've seen them every day outside. But you had a recent trip to South Dakota to see them in action. Is it even grander now that you've seen them working?
Well, I mean, it's unbelievable because I stood in front. I said, oh, my God, this is huge. And that's when I realized what I was standing in front of was 1/40th of what the boards are going to be. So I think, you know, size matters, and this is one element of that. But I think this is the hardware. The software of how, you know, it's going to tie in with the fan experience is just out of this world.
Sean, is there anything during the process of the building of the boards and the North End Zone Plaza that you personally have changed, or has it been pretty much as scheduled?
I think pretty much as scheduled. I mean, there have been a huge amount of improvements. I mean, one of the things we've done is tie all the boards together. I think it's like getting some of the ideas behind. I mean, this is a live game day experience. To have the people directing it. They're going to be sitting in a couple of the suites so they can get the vibe of the fans, the flow of the game, and really adjust to that rather than being in a basement or something like that. So there are many enhancements like that. But I think overall it's what we imagined and more.
Jaguars owner Shad Khan is with us live on Jaguars.com. A lot of folks might have been surprised by the Shipyards map that was put up on the screen a little while ago. What's the latest with it? Is that close to reality, and how will the Jags be involved?
Well, you know, the Shipyards, it's been around way before my time, and I think, you know, we're trying to give it some momentum. And I think with the city, you know, I'm hoping it becomes a reality, but there have been many attempts at it in the past. And I'm hoping this time, you know, it happens.
Do you think it's closer now than in the past?
I think it's closer, but there's, you know, there's a lot of work to be done. And I think everything there is, you know, journey for 1,000 miles starts with a single step. I think this is probably, you know, the first step. What the big picture is like, and what we want to do is extend the Jaguars, obviously, into the Shipyards.
Final question for you, Shad. You know, a lot of folks are hesitant to be super excited in an off season around here.
Yeah.
Is there anything you can tell the fans that to tell them, hey, it's okay, this is a good time to be a Jags fan, right?
I think it's a great time to be a Jags fan. If nothing else, you know, come out, see what's going on with the scoreboards. You know, see it for yourself. And I know it's, you know, we want to win, we will win, but the experience is going to be fabulous.
Well done, Shad. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jaguars owner Shad Khan joining us live at Everbank Field after the state of the franchise. Always great to visit with a mustache himself. We're scheduled to hear from Mark Lamping. President had the major presentation today. He should join us shortly. He is visiting with some of the local media folks right now. Dave Caldwell being surrounded. Gus Bradley was in here earlier, and not sure yet. He's over there with Vito Stellino right now. So once Mark Lamping has stepped away from the local folks, we'll get a shot with him. Shad Khan visiting with the local folks off to our left. Of course, you heard today a lot about local revenue and how it is up, but the London strategy is a major part of that, as you heard going into that London game last year. It was a big part of what happens locally for the Jaguars and sustaining the franchise here in Jacksonville. An update on the renovations, things going as scheduled, and they're on schedule for a July 26th opening. Kerry Underwood, Fulham versus DC United right here at Everbank Field, and it should be a huge day. All Jaguars season ticket holders get into that event free. Call 633-2000 and speak to your rep, and you can find out the way to get in for Kerry Underwood and the Fulham-DC United matchup. Team updates, free agency, of course, the draft, both positive for this organization. We heard the last few days from Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley right after draft picks and such, so not a lot, at least publicly on the stage today, from them. And also the surprise of all surprises, what might be next. And the idea of the roof is still there, It's still way out in the future. There was a map of the shipyards project, a proposal at least. You heard Shad just tell us that it is closer than ever to being a reality, and maybe the Jaguars and Shad Khan can maybe push that through. And if the Jags are involved, it could include some practice facilities for the Jaguars too. That's a story you'll have to follow coming up in the next few months. And of course, even more enhancements possible with the stadium itself, including the club areas. Club areas really haven't been touched since almost day one here at Everbank Field. So the idea of getting those club seats sold even more, bringing in party areas for that, for both sides of the club, is quite a possibility and something that could happen in the future. So all future possibilities, all still in the works, all just being presented as a forward-thinking vision-first franchise. This is the way this has been. We're live on Jaguars.com. J.P. Shadrick with you. After the 2014 State of the Franchise, Shad Khan speaking with the local media off to our left. Mark Lamping about to join us here live on set as well to clarify a few things after his presentation. Of course, the major part, one of the major parts of the presentation today was that of the London strategy and how that affects local growth here in Jacksonville, not only on the football side, but certainly on the business side, taking business leaders over on the trip last year, having them back and forth, it's starting to come back toward Jacksonville and go both ways, and that's part of the idea of this. And will be the idea of this moving forward. We're still waiting. Mark Lamping, president of the Jaguars. He'll join us soon here on Jaguars.com. Shad Khan being surrounded by all the local folks now. We thank him for his visit right away after the presser today. Coming up tomorrow, it's the rookie premiere here on Jaguars.com, 12:15. We'll be live in the lobby downstairs. We'll have as many draft picks as we can muster tomorrow. Most, if not all nine, should join us about 12:15 tomorrow, so join us live then for visits with each and every draft pick. The locker room was open today to media for the first time since the draft. You saw a few draft picks in there today, mostly veterans in there talking about some of the draft picks. We had to cut out a little bit early to get up here for the State of the Franchise. John Osher spent a little more time there. You'll see his writing on that coming up a little later. Chad Henne had his first comments today, too. Since the drafting of Blake Bortles. Of course, if you saw us over the weekend on Jaguars.com, we had a visit with every single draft pick on a phone teleconference. It's all archived in the media gallery right now if you want to check out all the phone conferences from over the weekend and live coverage after every pick and a little car ride with Blake Bortles, too. That was over the weekend. But we'll catch up with all the draft picks again coming up tomorrow here on Jaguars.com. Always a fun week here and a very busy week in the Jaguars organization. Of course, the 2014 NFL draft, very important for Dave Caldwell, Gus Bradley, their second go-around. They started building a foundation for this last year. Luke Jokel, Cyprian, that crew, and now get another year in. And they feel like they've done very well again. Time will tell, of course. The rookies are in this week. First full day today for rookies out on the field. Working with some vets, a rookie camp this weekend, Friday and Saturday, a two-day mini camp for rookies here outside Everbank Field. They're both open to the public. It is a 1:10 start time Friday and Saturday. You can come live right now. Brian Sexton's going to join us now. He's about to join us on Jaguars.com as a part of the digital media department. Hey, Brian.
Hi.
How are you? First official welcome.
Thank you.
To Jaguars.com.
I'm excited about it. Pleasure. You look nice.
Thank you. As do you.
Dress up well.
Thanks. Fooled somebody. Yeah. What did you think? You saw the presentation today. You've been here from day one.
Yeah.
Well, exciting, right?
You know, they have a firm grasp on all the metrics and everything that they have to do, and then to see the plan that they intend to do. You know, I come from a family of salesmen, so I was always taught to tell people what you're going to tell them, and then tell them, and then tell them what you told them. And I thought they did an excellent job of laying out where they have to go, how they're going to get there, and how they need help in getting there. It's exciting to see. You know, just a couple years ago now, there were a lot of uneasy people about the future of this franchise in Jacksonville. The team wasn't winning. Revenues were way down. Now to see this, combined with the scoreboards going up and the thought about what the shipyards could be, JP, it's overwhelming to understand just how much work is going into this and what their expectations are.
You reiterated it again about the London strategy. It helps the local base here in Jacksonville, the support of the franchise here financially. Certainly with the local revenue numbers down here and with the London revenue numbers combined, they were up total in the year. It's vital.
It really is, and I don't think a lot of people understood it when it happened. I mean, I think that the old groupthink in Jacksonville had become, you know, oh, that means that there's a foot out the door, they're headed to London, that's what the NFL wants. And what really means is that it sustains the franchise. You can see the growth opportunities that are there, combined with the growth efforts that are here. It's vital to have it here in Jacksonville and in London. And, you know, credit to Sean and to Mark and for everyone who's made that happen. I'm not sure everyone around the league would have said that that was so vital and understood it. These guys did. They're capitalizing on it, and the opportunities are even greater than I think most people know.
Brian Sexton is with us. When do you start officially with Jaguars? I guess today, right?
Well, yeah, right now. Absolutely, right now. You know, in the next week, at some point, we'll get it all put together, and I'm looking forward to it in time for the season for sure.
Brian, we appreciate your time today on short notice.
Good stuff. All right, good luck. Keep it rolling, bro.
Hey, Brian Sexton joining us. He'll be one of our newest on Jaguars.com coming up within the next week. We're out to Mark Lamping, who is still visiting with a couple of the local folks right now. Dave Caldwell has left the building, or not left the building. He's left the area, headed back downstairs. Gus Bradley visiting with one last local media folks right now. And Mark Lamping is on his way to us right now. This is the State of the Franchise 2014 live on Jaguars.com. Our last guest here is Mark Lamping, the president of the Jaguars. Vito Stellino trying to jump in at the last moment, Mark. Well, congratulations, first off. Big presentation. And it's always, you've mentioned this before, local revenue is the most vital for this organization. And it was up. That's the best number.
No, we're really proud of that. And, you know, there's a lot of things that are very positive that are happening around the organization on the football side and on the business side. We're making progress. We have a long, long way to go. But, you know, if we keep focused on what's most important, and that's making sure our fans believe in the product and that they're getting great return on the hard-earned dollars they invest, we don't think there's any reason why we can't continue to make progress. We're going to have to do things differently than most teams, but we think we can be successful.
Mark, the scoreboard situation's on track. Everything's good for July 26th, the Carrie Underwood concert, the Fulham friendly with DC United. But everything is on track. That's the most important part.
Yeah, no, we're going to have everything ready. We think that the project will be complete sometime around the middle of July. Give us some time to work on the programming. It'll be ready without question.
The real surprise, Mark Lamping is with us. A lot of folks have not seen maybe even the stadium roof concept. I know a lot of folks haven't seen the shipyards mm-hmm. concept. How likely is that now? Is it any closer, either one of those, than it was before?
Well, all of them are closer because we've had more time to sort of work through the plans. Are any of them at the point right now that we believe that we should go forward with it? The answer to that's no. But we're doing all the research and work to try to determine if that is something we should do. And once we get to that point and see if we can arrive at consensus with the other stakeholders, whether that's the city, the Gator Bowl, the other stakeholders here in town, we can get to that point where everyone thinks it's the right thing to do for the community, you know, then we'll figure out how to pay for it.
I think Mark Lamping is with us. I think the biggest part of this today is that, yes, things are going a little better for the Jaguars these days, but you can't stop looking forward. There's always something in the future here, right?
Well, there has to be for us because we're a very unique market. We're a small market with unique challenges compared to other small markets, and we need to continue to push and remain relevant, and one of the ways to do that is to keep focused on evolving as a franchise and evolve as a product and keep up with our fans' evolving needs.
Mark, well done. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, JP.
Mark Lamping joining us, president of the Jacksonville Jaguars, live on Jaguars.com, the 2014 State of the Franchise. He can go talk to Vito Stellino now. He's done with us. Glad you've joined us today. Our thanks to Shad Khan. Our thanks to Mark Lamping, John Osier as well. All the guys downstairs, Chris Burdett, John Cascio, Brandon Natus, Patrick Cavanaugh behind the camera today. For everyone involved, this is J.P. Shadrick. Join us tomorrow, 12:15 Eastern Time, for the rookie premiere Jaguars.com Live. We'll have that tomorrow from the lobby downstairs. Most, if not all, draft picks will join us live. You don't want to miss that. That's it for today from Everbank Field, the 2014 State of the Franchise.